I'm here with my co-chairs, Representative Julia Howard, Representative Michael Ray. And just a reminder that if you are not currently speaking, to please mute your microphones. As a further reminder to members of the committee, the meeting is being live streamed on YouTube and that you may be appearing online when speaking or at other times during the meeting. Our Sergeant at Arms helping us today at the General Assembly are Nina Lag or Lage. I'm not sure. And since I'm not there, I can't get a confirmation. But Nina, thank you. And David Layton. Our committee clerk today is Cody Honeycutt. We have central staff here from legislative analysis, bill drafting, and fiscal research. I want to thank you all for joining us. Clerk, if you would, please call the roll. And members, please remember, after you say aye, to mute your microphone. Mr. Clerk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Howard.
Aye.
Representative Ray.
Aye.
Representative Alexander.
Aye.
Representative Autry. Representative Autry.
Here.
Representative Beasley.
Here.
Dixon.
Dixon here.
Here.
Representative Holly.
Here.
Representative Humphrey.
Here.
Representative Hunter. Representative Hunter. Representative Johnson. Representative Jones. Representative Jones. Representative Kidwell.
Present.
Representative McGee.
Here.
Representative McElrath. Representative McElrath. Representative McGrady.
Here.
Representative Reeves. Representative Reeves. Representative Richardson.
Here.
Representative Ross.
Here.
Representative Setzer. Representative Setzer.
I see Setzer online, marking present.
Representative Speciale.
Present.
Representative Shepherd. Representative Shepherd. Representative Zoka.
Here.
Representative Turner.
Here.
Representative Warren.
Present.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Clerk. Also, if you would, please mark Howard Hunter present. He was having a little trouble with the link. I'm sending that to him next. We don't have that. But he should be joining us shortly. Any other members that are on the line that did not get recognized or possibly couldn't hear?
This is Representative Holly. I don't know if I heard my name correctly or not.
Okay, thank you, Representative Holly. We'll mark you down. And no one else? Our committee clerk today is Cody Honeycutt. And I've mentioned we have our staff here. Members, all motions and questions, inquiries of the chair or other members of the committee must be sent in writing to the committee clerk, either through the chat function of the WebEx app or via email. And that's howardla@ncleg.gov, who will notify the chair and staff. If a motion is time sensitive, please unmute your microphone, identify yourself, and state your purpose to the chair. As a reminder, the public, they can visit the committee's website, www.ncleg.net, to view documents of this meeting or past meetings. The public can make comments on our public portal on our committee website, and they can also view it, view this meeting on YouTube as we are streaming live. Again, it's the House Select Committee on COVID-19 at www.ncleg.net, and our documents for today's meetings are there. Just a reminder that it is very important to everyone on the call today to state their name for the record each time they talk. And I want to congratulate this committee. We, of course, we're smaller than the Appropriations Committee.
I'm on a conference.
But, well, you know, just as I go to brag, I was going to say we have such a well-disciplined committee, and they always mute their microphones. But whoever just announced that they're on a conference, we're glad to have you and glad to hear your voice. So before we start today, this will be a short meeting. We want to be respectful of your time. But we do have some legislation that we need to put before the committee in order that we get it so that it qualifies for our bill deadlines, bill filing deadlines. Before we start, I'd like to recognize my co-chairs, Representative Howard, Representative Ray. Representative Howard, if you would, please. Good morning.
Good morning. And I like your hat, Representative Sane. With that said, I appreciate the work of the committee. We've worked well together, and we've passed a lot of good legislation. And today we've got one bill, and hopefully we can get that one out, and everybody's had the opportunity to read it and understands it. So with that, Mr. Chairman, let's move forward.
Thank you, Chairman Howard. Chairman Ray.
Just like to thank the chairs, and like to thank the committee for having a successful session. When we were up a couple weeks ago, less probably about a week or so ago, but this is what working together's work's about. And Representative Howard said, this is a short bill, and look forward to continue moving some good legislation to help our citizens, to let them know we're out there trying to help them, even though we're not actually in Raleigh, but we're working by Zoom and the new technology. And so look forward to pushing this through so we can get it on for next week.
Chairman Ray, thank you, and appreciate your remarks. And Chairman Howard, the chair appreciates the compliment on his hat. He's very excited that we've got word that baseball season will start, at least here in the near future. So that's a little something to celebrate. But without further ado, we'll move on to our meeting and our agenda. We first have our bill draft, which is modernized debt settlement prohibition. It's sponsored by Representative Howard, Sane, and Ray. And I'll, if the co-sponsors would like for me to, I'll go ahead to Greg Roney for an explanation. He's with our Legislative Analysis Division at the General Assembly. Mr. Roney.
Hey, good morning. Yes, this is Greg Roney with Legislative Analysis. I'm just going to step through the bill draft. As you said, it's a 4-page bill, and it was emailed out as a PDF. There's also a summary along with the bill draft that has this, a lot of what I'm going to say is also in the summary. To understand it, it helps to know that what current law is. Under current law, we have a criminal offense for debt collecting and debt adjusting. And so debt adjusting is taking the money and promising to pay it to someone else's creditors. That's a misdemeanor. Debt collecting is to get between the debtor and the creditors and say you'll negotiate on behalf of the debtor. Both of those under current law are misdemeanors. Now, we don't know of anybody who's ever been prosecuted for that, but those practices are currently a criminal offense in the state of North Carolina. Now, also along with current law was, even though it's in the criminal section currently, there was a civil remedy in there for the attorney general to try to enjoin someone who's doing the practice of debt collecting or debt adjusting. The purpose of this bill draft was to modernize the language because the Attorney General's office had noticed some people were claiming were loopholes with the current statute and were saying was allowing them to do the practice of debt collecting and debt adjusting in North Carolina. Looking at the bill draft, the first thing that happens is that the entire provision that is currently in criminal law in chapter into the consumer protection chapter 75, and that's where the attorney general has a lot of general authority. to collect information and things like that. So it's putting this, these prohibition in the place in the general statutes probably where they should have always been. Since the criminal offense is not being used in enforcement, this would increase the Attorney General's capability to enforce this with civil remedies.
Okay, I'm on the conference.
So looking again, I'm just on page one in the very beginning. So we move the whole thing over. We start modernizing the definition. We add around line 17, the definition of affiliate. This is because the Attorney General's office had noticed that companies to avoid our current statute was separating their activity into lots of different companies. And so this aggregates the activities of all the companies so that if working together, they are doing prohibited debt adjusting or debt settlement, that this won't be allowed. Then we go into round line 19 on page one. We're going and we modernize the definitions. And so this is just cleanup. And so debt adjusting is, you know, we keep the current definition. We take out some of the superfluous words that were arguably some of the bad actors were claiming would give them a loophole. Around line 31, we create the own clear definition of debt settlement. Under current law, debt settlement had some, it's at the top of page two, had some odd language in there about when you got your payment for debt settlement mattered. We removed that language. And so now debt settlement is defined as just getting in between the debtor and the creditor and for pay. But it doesn't talk about like when you got paid. It just is that you got paid. Now on page two, around line seven. So the definition of debtor really wasn't changed. Line starting at line 10 on page two, we removed this nominal consideration definition because it wasn't used. The definition of person maintains the same. Now I'm still on page two, line 17. This is the core part of the new civil statute. We come out with a clear prohibition at line 18 about that no person directly or through affiliates can engage in or attempt to engage in the debt adjusting or debt settlement. So that's the civil provision saying that you shall not do it. And that reads very similar to many, many of the other consumer protection statutes in Chapter 75. Now on line 20, this is the carryover of the criminal's offense. This is the same. Now the language, we've modernized the language so it now reads as all our criminal offenses read, but the level of criminal offense maintains a class two misdemeanor. And so, you know, this is basically a carryover and it's the same. Now we're on line 26. This is a carrying over the old civil authority of the Attorney General that used to be in the criminal section. So we modernized it. You could see like at line 32, we clearly add debt settlement as a prohibited practice. At the very end of this, of the carried over section, we have a new subdivision, subsection D. This is needed now because it says this remedy is in addition to anything the Attorney General may have in Chapter 75, because the Attorney General sort of has general powers throughout Chapter 75. So when we moved it, we needed that. I'm on line 44 on page two. This is the acts authorized. Again, this is basically a lot of carryover language, but under the prior law, there are certain activities you could do that would not be considered debt adjusting or debt settlement. The first one is the debtor or the debtor's employee working, you know, adjusting the debtor's own debts. Number two is anything that you do under a court order. Now I'm on the top of page three. This is anybody acting under another law. Number three is really important because, I mean, there's a lot of financial institutions that have licenses that give them the authority to do what they do. Now I'm at line three. Let's see. This one is, you know, this allows the creditor to do debt adjusting on its own behalf. Let's see, on line seven, now we're on new subdivision five. This is like one of the refinancing, allowing refinancing. We struck old subdivision five, which was talking about somebody who did it just like one time intermittently. We don't need this as an exception because our definitions say that it's only debt settlement and debt adjusting if you're in the business of doing it. So you have to, in the very definitions, somebody who did it occasionally one time to help out a friend is not in the business of that activity. Number subdivision six, now we're on line 17. This is the attorney at law section. Again, according to the Attorney General's office, there are attorneys who have been found to engage in these activities. And so what the attorney exception is trying to do, we've always had the attorney exception, and it's always sort of been linked to that you're not supposed to do it if you're working for pay with one of a debt adjusting or debt settlement company. It was rewritten to be a little bit broader. And so it, as long as you're an attorney and you're doing it in the attorney-client relationship, meaning that you're not doing it as an entrepreneurial activity, although you have to be licensed as an attorney. So if it's an attorney-client type activity, then it's not debt adjusting and debt settlement unless you are working with one of these companies that are doing it on a larger scale. And according to Attorney General's office, they're kind of boiler room operators located in primarily California and Florida, who call into North Carolina and are trying to get creditors to enter into these things. And of course, it's currently illegal to do that. And this is just making it a little bit clearer that even if you hire an attorney licensed in North Carolina to work with you, that will not save you. That, you know, it's still going to be considered debt adjusting and debt settlement. Now I'm on to subdivision seven on line 22. This is the one, I'm not going to go through this one, but basically how it works is the commissioner of banks can make a list of accrediting agencies that are accrediting debt counseling services that are considered a legitimate, appropriate activity. And so if you're one of these debt settlement debt counseling services is accredited by a national organization that has been approved by the North Carolina Commissioner of Banks, and then you comply with the other subdivisions of this statute, which includes a fee cap, then it's not considered debt settlement, debt adjusting. And then finally, on the fourth page, there are two new statutes. One says contracts are void. Contracts were probably already void because, you know, it was illegal to criminal, it was a criminal offense to enter into one of these contracts. But this just makes it clear that the contracts are void. That would be some help to debtors who got entrapped in one of these arrangements and was trying to get out of it. And then on line three, it says it's an unfair trade practice. This is just to make the rest of Chapter 75 clearly apply to debt settlement and debt adjusting activities. And so this just says, a lot of times you hear people say that it's unfair trade practice per se. And so this just makes it an unfair trade practice. And that will make it clear that the Attorney General has all of their authority in Chapter 75 to stop these activities. And it also helps the debtor, because the debtor might want to sue the company that did it. The Attorney General's office said that has happened, they believe, in bankruptcy. Because a lot of times when people get involved in these schemes, it ultimately leads to them going bankrupt. And then as part of the bankruptcy proceedings, you know, you try to go back and get the money that the was improperly paid to the debt settlement company. And so this would just give even more authority for courts to do that and for debtors potentially to claw back some of the money that was taken from them. And Mr. Chair, that's all I have.
Thank you for the great explanation. Members and Chairman Howard, Chairman Ray, would you like to comment on the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that we found that there was certainly a need, and I hope that some of the other folks that have signed off on the bill and who have requested the bill are in a position to give us some examples. But I think with the influx of certain monies now and people incurring debt, this is certainly something that we need to look at and pass. So I hope we can do that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Chairman Howard. Chairman Redd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it was a great presentation, and now is like Representative Howard said, now is an opportunity for a lot of people to prey on a lot of people that are desperate and in a dire need of what's going on. And you know, a lot of people applying for funding and going through traditional banks and non-traditional banks. And I think this is something that's desperately needed at the present time to show citizens that they are protected upon the everything going on. So I look forward to this legislation moving forward.
Any other members wishing to comment or seek recognition, please do so in the chat. I have Representative Warren with a question. Representative Warren, you're recognized, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's a great bill. I think it cleans up a lot of things for us. And I guess the only question I have is, from my understanding, if under Section 7, if there is a provider of credit that's counseling that's been approved by the Commissioner of Banks, they could have a one-time setup fee for a plan at $40 and then a monthly charge that would not exceed $40, 10% of whatever the savings is, plus, up to a maximum of $40. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, you want me to take that?
If you would please, Mr. Rennie.
Yes, I mean, I'll tell you that the fee cap that now appears on page 3 around line 34, that used to be in the definition section of nominal consideration. And so we moved it down to where it needed to be, which is with the sort of what I call the white hat list, the list of people that are approved. And so we did not change the amount of the fee cap. And so it's the existing fee cap, and it's just been put where it needs to be. We did add no fee. So we sort of wanted to make it clear that if you didn't want to charge a fee at all, that would be okay. But if you charged a fee, then the rest of it is pretty much verbatim from what we used to have. So we did relocate the fee provision, but we didn't change the amount of the fee.
Thank you, Mr. Rooney. Mr. Chair, at appropriate time, I'd like to be recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Representative Warren. Any other members wishing to seek recognition? Hearing none and seeing none, and no one's trying to flag me down, at least I can see from my screen. Representative Warren, you're recognized for your motion, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that we give a favorable report to the bill draft for the referral to finance.
You have heard the motion from Representative Warren. Does not require a second. If would chair, and hearing no opposition and no questions, he's going to assume that we have agreement for this online purpose, so we don't have to go through roll call once again. Anyone disagree with that decision by the chair? Seeing none, are there any opposed? Okay, and Representative Zoka is correcting me. I misheard Representative Warren, and Representative Zoka heard it correctly, and he said that Representative Warren did say in his motion that the motion was to file the bill. That's what I heard too. I just misspoke. Thank you, Representative Zoka. And that is the motion before us. Any opposed? And the chair will also note that Representative McElrath is in attendance. She wasn't able to say aye on the roll call, but she is here. And she didn't indicate that she supported the bill, so she's also an aye. Any others? Seeing none, the chair appreciates the cooperation of the committee, and the motion does pass. The bill will be filed, and when we get into session proper, we will take that up. So our business being done before us, any comments or discussion before we adjourn? Seeing none and hearing none, as the chair promised, we said this meeting would be short. We appreciate your time this morning, and we look forward to seeing you next week. And if there's any questions or concerns, you can certainly reach out to Chairman Howard, Chairman Ray, or myself. We'll be continuing to do our work with this committee, as the speaker had indicated, and we have a number of other issues that are on our plate that just haven't. We're still working on language and some of the other things that are coming before us. And I know that members are working on that as well.
Mr. Chairman, this is Representative Jake Johnson. Can I be, may I be recognized for a quick comment?
You can, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. I was speaking to some business owners in my district, and just geographically, for anyone who doesn't know, my home county where I live, Polk is a border county to South Carolina. They're in Spartanburg County, Landrum area, and then it runs all the way up to Pisgah Forest. So a reasonable drive down Interstate 26 to South Carolina. And I've been reached out to by a lot of local officials, business owners, and things like that. And, you know, they've asked me to just, you know, describe on some public forum how they are, you know, losing a tremendous amount of business right across the border there. And I would assume I'm speaking for other municipalities and small business owners on border towns as well. And right there, you know, it may be a 15-minute drive from one town to the next, but it's in a different state. So it's working under a totally different set of guidelines. And I just want to express to those listening, if any of them are listening or, you know, any of those local officials, that we definitely hear you. And that's something that we're going to, you know, portray to the governor, that as he looks at his next stages, that we definitely need to keep in mind that when it comes to, you know, ability to do business and revenue coming in, that us border towns are taking a significant, border counties are taking a significant hit when it comes to that. And I've talked to them and they've had some very creative ideas on how they could do similar things outside. And, you know, they're very conscious of whether they have the space to do it or whether they could work with, you know, maybe vacant businesses beside them to conduct their business with smart guidelines. And, you know, it's even barbers have said, hey, we'll move it outside, do one appointment an hour if that helps. So they're being very creative and very ingenuitive. And we just want to make sure that we're, you know, hopefully helping them do that down the road. So I just want to bring that up there in a public setting. Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Johnson, thank you for your comments. I mean, they're certainly appropriate here in the Economic Support Working Group. I think your concerns are well noted. I'm fairly certain that most of our members on the call have heard similar concerns. My in-laws live in South Carolina, so we've been down there, you know, back and forth some anyway. And of course, we're able to do things that we couldn't do right now here in North Carolina. So I think that's well stated. I mean, we certainly want to keep public health in mind. It's not anyway, you know, taking away from that, but you were absolutely correct. And to your folks back home, thank them for you know, giving that to you to give to us. And we'll certainly take that into consideration. And I'm sure the governor's folks are watching and listening as well. So thank you very much for that. Any other members before we close the meeting? Here's none, sees none. With that, thank you all this morning. I really appreciate your hard work. I love this committee. You all very quickly picked up how to conduct meetings on this platform. And I will at least pat ourselves on the back a little bit and say we might get a little better than maybe some of our other colleagues, but they're getting there. We'll set the standard, but they got to catch up and they may surpass us. But with nothing else before the committee, the chair declares the meeting adjourned, and see you soon. Take care. Thank you all.